Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live in Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity Review, LER Magazine, and MVP Parent Magazines, and the great UK Health Radio Network. We've got a great doubleheader. Dr. Eli Friedman, he's the medical director, sports cardiology, Baptist Health South Florida, will be joining me, along with Mike Andrews, my longtime sports medicine colleague, medical fitness director of Restore Fit, and a little Bob Guide of Wisdom, some emails. First, I'd like to welcome Dr. Eli Friedman to the Sports Doctor. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Really a privilege to join you and be with you today. So thanks for the invitation. You know,
yeah, Dr. Eli, I'm Dr. Bob.
Yeah.
Give us some background on yourself and the world of sports cardiology.
Yeah, so it's interesting. You know, I was, and still think I am, an athlete growing up my entire life. Baseball, basketball, ended up playing baseball in college. But sport has always been just incredibly important to me. And it's interesting, when I was in residency, I was working the Pittsburgh Marathon. I did all my training at the University of Pittsburgh. And unfortunately, there was a sudden death during one of the races. And it kind of opened my eyes to this field of sports cardiology. I had grown up with a father who was a cardiologist, too. And it opened my eyes to this world. And, you know, when you're in your training, you're kind of wide-eyed for everything. You love everything that you're doing. But, you know, for me, this was like the perfect find. It combined all the things I love in science with cardiology, with all the things that I love as an athlete in sport, and really caring for those of us who are highly active, who want to continue to be as active as possible as we continue to get older, and then even the elite athletes as well. So it's been, you know, for me, the perfect fit, and it's been such a privilege for me personally to be involved in this and work with the various different organizations that I have the pleasure of representing. So I can't, you know, speak highly enough of what I've been able to do and the privilege with which I'm able to do it.
Now, you work with some professional teams. You work with some schools. What are some of the teams in sports you're working with?
So locally here in South Florida, I get the opportunity to work with Inter-Miami from Major League Soccer and the Florida Panthers of the NHL. I work with the United States Tennis Association and the Women's Tennis Association. I'm the cardiology consultant to both those groups. We've done some work with the National Basketball Players Association. And then from the college perspective, we have the privilege of representing a lot of colleges here locally, FAU, FIU, Nova Southeastern University, Barry University, among several others. So really covering the vast kind of landscape of sport, all the way from Olympic and sanctioned athletes to the college and amateur ranks as well.
That's funny you mentioned the Women's Tennis Association. A little shout out. And then I put orthotics in Tracy Austin's shoes. The middle 80s and McEnroe, you talk with the Women's Tennis Association, the multiple sports. You know, Dr. Eli, the explosion of awareness of heart health and sports has hit us between the eyes in the past few years. You know, whether it was Monday Night Football and that incident, whether it was LeBron James's son, and the awareness of coaches, parents, teachers being aware of being prepared for emergency situations. This has been big news, hasn't it?
It certainly has. And I think, you know, it illustrates kind of the journey that those of us who are sports cardiologists have been on, I would say, over the last 10 years or so, maybe even a little bit longer than that. So traditionally, the old model was that the cardiologist was brought in only if there were symptoms in the athlete. So the athlete maybe fainted or had chest pain or something to that effect. Hey, we've got this team cardiologist, go see them. Then the iteration was, you know, bringing the cardiologist in at the beginning. So being there for the pre-participation exam, if an electrocardiogram is done on the athletes, an EKG or ECG, interpreting that, kind of being a part of the healthcare team. But now it's even moved the needle even further, where now not only are we a part of the team early on, but we're asked to weigh in terms of, you know, the planning, the emergency action planning, which
enhancing performance. You know, the term sports cardiologist, you're the first guy I saw with that title. So, of course, it makes so much sense. It's a great marriage, but you're so right. You know, the cardiologist was the end game, if needed, God forbid, to now being a tremendous proactive, like everything else in sports medicine, whether it's nutrition, whether it's the training, the importance of rest and recovery. So the world of cardiology is in the middle of all of it. High performance, enhancing performance.
It is, and we can take it a step further. Look at Christian Erickson and DeMar Hamlin. Both of them have returned. Bronny James is on the cusp of returning. So not only are we involved at that outset, but once these athletes have something happen to them, hopefully they don't, but if they do, we are involved with trying to determine what's the risk of returning to play. And this is a daily part of our practice here that we're evaluating.
And, of course, the mental game. You know, a huge, huge topic, Dr. Eli, on the sports doctor for decades. I call it the mental game, whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you're their parents, whether you're their coach or their doctor, these challenges with somebody trying to stay on the program they're on and trying to be disciplined to include exercise, et cetera, et cetera. But coming back from these kinds of incidences, you must work closely with the world of sports psychology.
Very much so, and the healthcare team at large, right? We're having discussions and a multidisciplinary perspective with the athlete, their stakeholders, their support system to provide them with that reassurance in terms of what their risk is, but then understanding that we're prepared for whatever that risk is and giving them the confidence, the boost that comes along with that. Sports psychologists are an intimate part of the medical team as much as the sports cardiologist and the primary care sports medicine physician.
And you get my message from the sports doctor. You get my message from the sports doctor, which is strengthen those feet and ankles, my friend. Whatever your sport or level is, pay big attention to balance training and working those feet and ankles. But again, it's part of the overall sports team. And what's the involvement in that world with the Health South Florida, Baptist Health South Florida, Dr. Eli?
Oh, so we have sports podiatrists at every level, definitely at the WTA. So in a couple of hours, we're going to have our medical advisor meeting. We have a podiatrist as part of that. Definitely with all of our professional teams, you know, our athletes are constantly looking after their feet because, as you said, it is the roots. It's the ground with which we provide all of our balance, all of our mobility, agility. So it's really important to take care of your feet. Certainly as a cardiologist, I'm simple in that regard. I don't know that much. And that's why we lateraled over to people like you who can help us to understand it way better.
Yes. The idea that posturally, the role of the foot, alignment, stability is a major, major key. That often is ignored unless there's problems where, you know, I've been putting orthotics in the skating world skates for like four decades. And many times we see if the feet don't hurt, it's ignored. But if you want to be a step or two quicker, you pay attention to what we're talking about. Is there a website or that people could find out about what you're doing at the Baptist Health South?
So I think definitely looking up our website here at bhsf.org, we'll get you here and can find everything that we're doing. And certainly we try not to hide. We're constantly available and wanting to help anybody who feels that they need help from a cardiovascular standpoint to optimize their health, their performance.
Yes, we talk so much about these three areas on the sports doc, Dr. Eli, which is number one, awareness of whatever we're dealing with or the problem or the challenge. In the world of sports cardiology. And number two is education, again, which you're in the middle of, which we're all in the middle of, and making some positive changes. You know, the idea of 80 being the new 60 and 70 being the new 50 and all of these ideas, people want to stay healthy, they want to stay well. And, you know, cardiology being much more proactive is, again, so important, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and I couldn't agree with you more. I think the science is the easier part of what we do in terms of making a diagnosis or getting the data. I think the conveying of that data, the time we spend sitting, making decisions together, education and reassurance, or you know, like you said, boosting mental health and confidence, depending on what we found, becomes exquisitely important. So that's really the bulk of what we do, the sitting, the talking, and engaging in the partnership of one's health, specifically cardiovascular from our side.
You know, how prepared is the sports world, whether it's, again, high school, college, especially, to the idea of being prepared for emergencies and that whole emergency awareness and situation that has become so important? Are we improving in every aspect of that? It's a big challenge, isn't it?
So the needle is definitely pointing upward. We are getting better. Rest assured at the professional sanctioned Olympic levels, they're prepared. They've got all the resources, all the tools, and they are prepared for this before what you've seen on TV over the last several years. These processes were in place. We are getting better as a result of that in the less resourceful areas, so high schools, perhaps lower ranking college schools, because of this awareness. And there's organizations like the Smart Heart Sports Coalition, which I get the privilege of intersecting with, where we are trying to improve legislation for CPR awareness, CPR training, AED usage, getting these things out there. Because no matter how good your screening is, no matter how good you engage in this, these bad things are still going to happen. All of the people we've talked about today, they were all screened and they all passed their screens by experts who know exactly what they're doing. Unfortunately, the things still happen, and it was the emergency action plans, the AEDs, and the CPR which saved their lives. So we need to continue to hammer away at that point and get these things into the communities and these tools and resources. And certainly we're engaging in that often here in South Florida.
I would imagine, again, the education of teachers, school administrations. Again, if you're playing sports, and so many are, I would imagine the connection, again, in with the athletic training world has got to be very important.
Athletic trainers are the unsung heroes of sports medicine, as I know you'll attest to. They are my favorite people to work with. Yeah, they're just phenomenal people. But let me take what you said a step further. Yes, teachers, administrators, anybody who's a stakeholder should know this. But, you know, we are more likely to perform CPR in our own home. So this is a life-saving skill. It is a life skill, just like brushing our teeth and washing our hands. So we need to train everybody in this because, you're more likely to do it on a loved one in your own home than you are on an athletic field. So everybody needs to know these skills.
You think that this would be something that would be routinely included in the school system world, is that there wouldn't be a child who graduates high school who wouldn't have been trained in being able to deal with a CPR emergency. Makes so much sense, but it's always a real challenge many times in the world of education to get these things included. So we're giving a shout out to that now, right? Aren't we?
Yeah, so it is. But I mean, imagine like you learned how to shoot a basketball in 11th grade. You had to do that in order to graduate. Okay, fine. You shot the basketball. You made the shot. But if you don't come back to that, if you're not constantly trained in it and you need to take a game-winning shot 10 to 15 years later, you're not going to feel confident in your ability to shoot a basketball. The same is true for this. You need to constantly revisit this. I'm not saying it needs to be done every day or every year, but maybe once every 2 years, just think about this. And the way we traditionally do this, right, is a 2 to 4 hour class. Well, that doesn't work for a lot of people. That's cumbersome. Well, I think there are new and innovative ways that we can train people to do this and quit.
If you're going to be a sports, if you're going to be, and youth sports is a big, big deal on the Sports Doctor. If you're going to be a sports parent at any level, then you want to be absolutely aware of what Dr. Eli Creedon's talking about here and being prepared, being educated, knowing what you're doing if, in fact, you're faced with an emergency with your own young athlete. We've come a long way, baby, in that regard also. But sometimes I think we're still treading water with this at the awareness of the parents.
It's because those of us in healthcare, honestly, haven't met the parents' needs. We know the parents, coaches, they want this training, but we've made the training too difficult for them. I think we've done work at the USTA and WTA.
Great point. That's a great
and others.
Point.
You know, we're meeting the moment, but we have to continue to do better with making people understand that you don't need to go take a 2 to 4 hour class. For people, that makes a lot of sense for me, for you, for athletic trainers, that they need that. We need that certification. But for a parent, they don't need to do 2 hours. We have a 30-minute module on USTA where you can learn how to do this. There's a video, and you're 50% more likely to perform CPR and use the AED just by doing that. So we need to continue to leverage all of the tools that we have to bring this to people's hands, because, again, you're more likely to do it in your own home than you are on an athletic field.
Now, cardiovascular performance, again, at all levels that you're dealing with in all sports, in the last couple of minutes, the idea of enhancing performance, including the world of nutrition, again, the whole mental side of things, all goes into the package that you're recommending to some of these individuals. So give us a couple of pearls in the world of sports cardiology that are important to you.
Yeah, so when you're talking about optimizing performance, number one, you need to make sure you're healthy and safe. And if we're talking, let's say, a high school-aged athlete, a middle school-aged athlete, are you up to date on all of the screenings that you need to have at that age? Are you getting your annual checkups? Really, at that age, are you aware of family history, anything that could be worrisome or predispose you to an issue? As you progress through that and get older, now we start talking more cardiometabolically. Are you getting your annual checkups? Are you up to date with screenings in terms of blood? What do your cholesterol numbers look like? Blood sugars? Are there any medical problems that could be manifesting under all of this? And again, as we continue to talk about, they're just having that well-rounded healthcare team. And if it's in sports, you want a good sports performance team that can back that up. And, you know, as you've talked about very eloquently, from the feet up to the brain and taking care of mind, body, and soul within that regard, I think really helps. And then having the humility to discuss with your colleagues and your peers from our perspective to work together as a team to optimize somebody's health as best as possible.
Really, and again, now strengthening, the enhancing the performance of the cardiovascular system, again, like you're talking about in all different ways, is so important. How do people find out more information about some of the work that you're doing? Can you give us that site again?
Yeah, absolutely. BHSF.org, www.bhsf.org. They can find, you know, our office information, our clinic information, as well as some of the community service work we're doing as it relates to CPR and AED. So all of that becomes very important, and we want to help anybody as much as we can.
Dr. Eli Friedman, sports cardiologist. Dr. Eli, hold on a second. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Nate.
Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It is the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to welcome back long-time sports medicine colleague. He's now the medical fitness director of Restore Fit. Spent a few years with Right Fit. We go way back to Bob Guida days. Mike Andrews. Michael, welcome back to the Sports Doctor, my friend.
Well, it's great to be back on.
It's really a great opportunity to have you come back. I know you're doing lots of new stuff. Give us some background, Michael, on our world over the past, four decades.
Well, I think we go back to the sports fitness days, which is in the late 70s with, like you had mentioned, Bob Guida. And I was a young pup that I was just finishing my undergraduate work. And Bob took me under his wing, and I started as a strength and conditioning coach, at the Institute, and learned everything I could from Guida. We transferred into the Sports Performance and Rehabilitation Institute, which was...
Spry.
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 Yeah, you're familiar with those resistant bands that had Spry on them. But that goes back to the Wheaton Orthopedic days, and we really were in the physical therapy department by day, and at night I was down training the athletes in the Sports Performance Center. And also at the same time working on my master's degree in strength and conditioning coach with the Blackhawks. And then I moved on to being independent and starting my own practice. In the 90s, I went ahead and went into community-based wellness and fitness with park districts. And then in the year 2000, I went to Edward Hospital and worked at their corporate wellness and fitness. And then in 2015, I decided to get back in my own practice in regard to more with the senior population and rehabilitation, post-rehabilitation. And that's what we're doing at RestoreFit.
You know, also you spent time with, you know, a frequent guest of ours, one of our promoters, you know, Suzanne Gray and RightFit, that you were involved in a lot of different things that they were doing, again, in the same exercise-related, sports-related world.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was just by providence, I think, that, you know, when the corporate world changed because of healthcare costs going through the roof, corporations decided to take wellness money and put it into paying for premiums. And I found myself, pivoting career-wise. And lo and behold, you know, I got to meet my younger sister of a different mother, and that's Suzanne Gray. And, you know, what a tremendous person. Definitely a future fitness Hall of Famer, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. And she really helped integrate the whole world of autism and disability world and the world of exercise and the importance of adding exercise to all of these areas. Wrote a couple of books. And in that regard, and is somebody, a real pioneer. Of course, you know, for everybody who's listening, you know, Michael Andrews was working with some of the best figure skaters that were growing up with what we were doing together. Mike used to help build tilt boards, balance boards for these kids and their families. Both my children today, who were happy adults, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, we're working with a program that Michael was working at Sports Fitness Institute with the late, great Bob Guida. Everything about balance and stability, rubber bands and tilt boards. And heck, you brought those tilt boards. And with some, you know, we were going back with the beginning of the career of Candy Brown and all her figure skaters, Mike.
Yeah, I've kept a few for nostalgia. And, you know, another thing I saw yesterday that I use is the dard. I don't know if you remember the dard piece of equipment.
Are you kidding? Yes, the dynamic axle resistance device. When we would speak on this piece of equipment and I would follow Bob Guida, I would try to, you know, to make some definitions for him. He was talking about all these different terms, again, with a piece of equipment to strengthen the shins, which were so ignored in so many different areas. The that was a great piece of equipment, yes. And you always paid big attention to balance and stability, and that came in so important with these young kids doing double and triple jumps already in figure skating.
You know, Bob, it's a tribute to you, though. Let's give your dues. I mean, you're the person back then in the 70s and early 80s that taught me how important all the foot and ankle is. It's the foundation. You remember, Bob, when we were doing even orthotics in the hockey skates with the Blackhawks, and you were the physician.
Yes.
I mean, yes, you know, Doug Wilson, we're so far ahead of our time.
Yes. Yes, the idea, again, the importance of alignment. As you know, Bob Guida, one of the greatest in the world of sports training, the John McEnroes, the Walter Paytons, the Jimmy Connors, the Doug Wilsons, the Olympic volleyball team, all these athletes looking to, number one, prevent problems, and number two, be a step or two quicker, faster, stronger. And Bob passed away. I have a segment on my show every week, Mike, in the Sports Doctors In segment after my guest. I have some Bob Guida wisdom.
Wow.
Matter of fact, in today's show, I'm going to talk briefly. I spent a few minutes. You know, today we're talking about Bob and jump training. And
oh, boy.
Remember all the attention he would pay to coming down from a jump and everything that was involved with balance and his...
He would talk about eccentric strength, you know, and the body able to absorb shock. You know, we see the opposite today. We see these kids jumping up on these jump boxes that are 48 inches in the air, but they don't pay any attention to the deceleration. And we've completely missed. Well, remember in 79 when I studied in Russia, they were talking about shock training. And shock training was absorption training.
They were jumping in and out of a pool. The Russians were jumping. Imagine yourself having fun in a pool that's about waist high, chest high. You're jumping as high as you can, and you're coming down and landing at the bottom of the pool. And the water, of course, absorbs all this shock and gives you all this. Now, you are applying all of these principles, my friend, to the world of seniors as we've both grown older, although your daughter, who's more famous than you are, the magician, Jeanette, we had her on the show. We're going to have her back talking about some of the training it takes to do some of these world of magic and illusions whatever. But so you also are a sports dad.
you're not only taking into consideration some of the physical components, but also remember Jim Vickery, you know, with the psychology of sport.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
The latest. Or the psychology of performance.
Yes. There was we had an old tape we found of the great Eric Soderholm, the great Chicago White Sox recovery player of the year, who trained with us for years, along with Bill Buckner and Gary Fensick of the Bears and all these different sports, different athletes looking to rehab an injury or, again, trying to enhance performance. And again, the aging population, Michael, whether it's the aging athlete or their parents, and people who want to, the world of preventing falling is such a big deal. And understanding that exercise is productive forever. How has the senior population aged along with you?
It's alarming because what I'm running into, you know, with seniors that are between the ages of early 70s and early 90s, is it's, you know, the standard American diet, this whole thing is so out of whack. And these folks are fighting off multiple comorbidities, and they just don't have any knowledge of nutrition. And they're, Bob, you know, you take a history and they're on 10 different pills.
Yes.
You know, and
well, one of the interesting things, the holistic side of sports medicine, health and wellness is a huge topic, as you know. On the sports doctor, again, the late Jim Vickery, the sports psychologist, he had, these were his recommendations for sports parents. He said, number one, don't be a critic. And number two, be a good listener. And the idea of with all of the advancements that we've seen in wellness and the importance of exercise and all of these important topics, like you said, the word alarming, you know, takes me back. Because we're still treading water in a lot of areas, but we're both working it pretty hard. The world of education and the idea of people paying attention to some of these different factors and seeing what the effect of the American diet and the fact of the huge advertising of Big Pharma. And like you just mentioned, people on all these medications and whatever, it's a real challenge.
It is. And some things even go back. I don't know if you remember when we were doing hair analysis at Sports Fitness. And now we've got so many things to be able to analyze.
Yeah, I want to talk more about all this. We're going to come back another segment. What's the website people find out about the Restore Fit?
It's restore-fit.com.
All right, hold on. We'll be right back. Mike Andrews, Restore Fit.
the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, we are back. It is the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wall, sports podiatrist. I am conversing here with Mike Andrews. We go back about four decades, give or take a few weeks, in the world of sports medicine, sports performance, and I have shared some incredible memories with some of these great athletes, great teachers, great teams, and now Michael working with the senior population in his Restore Fit. You know, trying to keep people active, trying to keep them active and healthy, trying to pay attention to this tremendous physical side challenge, preventing falling, all these things we see Michael working 70 to 90 year area. You mentioned a couple of different facilities, a golf facility. You mentioned also you're working in people's homes. I think, you know, that whole world of personal training, the pandemic, whole attention people in. I bet home visits are popular.
It is, because some of these folks, I just had a phone call right before we went on the air, you know, from and usually they're the children are calling me. Now, the children are pretty much in their 60s or late 50s, and their mom is having a hard time just moving around in bed and getting out of bed and standing. And so it's really rewarding, you know, to try to improve the quality of people's lives, you know, at this point in time, and to make a difference. And
you know, I find some, the word ironic's probably a little bit heavy. What I find amazing after all of these years is many times the same philosophies of exercises we saw Magic, Bob Guida, whatever, performing on the best athletes in the world, regardless of their sports. And the idea of trying to deal with after-injury concerns and the interaction of physical therapy, and many times the same exercise concepts, balance, strengthening the lower extremities, all these other alignments, all of these things are just as important when you're 78, 83 years old. Ironically, sometimes the same exercises, maybe not to the same extent, but so much of the different concepts you might be doing with these great athletes, I find that just fascinating.
It's the same thing, Bob. You're training proprioceptive. You're trying to improve speed of movement. That falls off as we age. We're not trying to build big muscles. We're trying to build functional mobility and movement. And that's the exact same thing. You remember the days when, you know, the coaches would say, well, he's going to get muscle bound and I don't want him to do weight training. And, you know, the seniors aren't going to have sarcopenia. They're not going to get muscle bound, but they've got to activate those muscles quickly to avoid a fall and to be able to have the strength to get up and out of chairs safely, to get in and out of cars, to go up and down steps. And, you know, it's the same thing that we're doing with the athletes. It's just a little bit slower pace, but it's the type of thing that is just like athletes, that adds quality to their lives and the people around them.
And I think the inclusion, you've been around it forever, the inclusion of the importance of the nutrition side, the inclusion still today, the rapid inclusion of the rest and recovery side. And again, you mentioned the late, great Jim Vickery, that whole mental side, whether someone's trying to stick to their program to lose weight, whether somebody's trying to stick with the exercise program that you're putting them on, and the challenge of, are you making it fun, Mike? Is my question to you.
it always has to be fun.
Hope so, man.
It has to be the type of thing where you have a personality and you have to be able to be, you know, what's kind of important with this age group too, Bob, is you have to be relatable. If you're a 26-year-old trainer, a 28-year-old trainer, you know, strength and conditioning, you can't relate to somebody that's 70 years old. I mean, it's a whole
great
different
point.
World.
Yeah, it's a great point.
You know, I have a client that we spent our rest times, we were talking about muscle cars. Well, you know, those cars were in the 60s, and that's when, you know, when I was in high school, that's what we were building. So I can relate to that. But somebody today, they can't relate to that world, and they certainly can't relate to, you know, Korea or World War II or any of the big bands music-wise. The culture is not there with the young trainers. And so it's very difficult to find people that are dedicated and will take the time to learn about culture that was back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Do you find, Mike, that, you know, you've been around physical therapy forever, you're one of them, that the profession of physical therapy, sometimes with the, again, movement of somebody into the personal training supervision, the cooperation of those different links, have you found that to be productive?
It's the whole foundation of what I'm doing. I'm part of a mastermind group based out of Austin, Texas, and we not only talk about the business development, but we also talk about, you know, if you have your own private practice, which, you know, I know you have, and you can spend time with patients, you're not just, you know, doing three patients an hour running back and forth, but if you spend time with people, you really get to understand you know, the foundational aspects. In the last 7 years, I've really gotten into neurological rehab, neural conditions, not orthopedic, but neurological. And there's a lot to this, and there's a lot that's learning.
I got to get you together. She's a master figure skating coach for decades, but her main bag, vestibular training systems, all these systems for these kids doing triple jumps and all this different spinning, now being used cognitively. And at all different ages, again, for that whole, you mentioned the magic word, proprioception. Are you in space? And, you know, aging besides working with 10-year-olds doing triple jumps, working with 85-year-olds, you know, with the ability, again, like you said, to get in and out of a chair and to have still quality life as much as they can stick with it. How's the interaction with the medical side? People's different doctors and whatever, or their internist or whoever, their diabetic physicians, any interaction with that world?
It's totally been interaction. It's with physical therapists, but with the doctors. And what happens is now with this insurance, people are getting cut off.
The world of insurance. Michael, I'm going to get you back for another show. I'll get you back for another show. We'll talk about insurance. I can't believe I knew we'd run out of time with you. Give me again the website for Restore Fit.
It's www.restore-fit.com.
So excited to have Mike Andrews, my long, long, long time sports medicine colleague, back on. Michael, hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctors in segment. Bob Guy to Wisdom coming up. We're back. Happy holidays, everybody. I hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And now there's, again, Christmas, Hanukkah, all this excitement coming up. Happy holidays. It is the Sports Doctor is In segment, where we preview some upcoming guests and topics. We add a little Bob Guy to Wisdom. What a poignant. We just had, again, Mike Andrews, my last guest. Goes way back to the beginning of my Bob Guided days. And we also answer a few emails. Great show coming up next week. One of the country's leading sports chiropractic physicians, lectures around the world, author, speaker, Dr. James Stockson. He's one of my teammates on the National Fitness Hall of Fame. He returns. Team doctors, and then Betaguard ankle technology. Scientific chief officer, Dr. Tobias Kanzmuller, is going to be joining me. That's going to be a great show. The following week, we've got two champions in the world of limb preservation, the world of preventing amputations, post diabetes. two podiatrists, Dr. Larry Rubin, the founder of the LEAP Alliance, LEAP, Lower Extremity Amputation Prevention, and one of the leading educators in the whole world of diabetic treatments, limb salvaging, Dr. David Armstrong, lecturer, speaker, author, will be joining us. Great shows, great topics coming up. Little Bob Guy to Wisdom mentioned it with Mike. Guy was very involved in jump training for all of his athletes. Not only how high, how aggressively you could jump, but whether you could change direction, whether or not you can come down safely. Whatever the sport, like basketball, volleyball, skating, figure skating, jumping, and strengthening the feet and ankles, working on stability, working in all areas of landing, balance, eccentric strengthening. Jump training was a big deal, and it was very, very exciting to be around an innovator like Bob. Strengthening the feet and ankles, strengthening balance, a piece of apparatus called the jump box, jumping up and landing, not only at different heights, but having a balance when you landed. It was unstable. And then paying huge attention to coming down on a padded surface. Great stuff. Some emails. John says, my 11-year-old daughter is a very active figure skater. She skates 6 days a week. She's getting problems with these bumps on the back of her heels. You know, John, this is common. When you lock the foot in a cast-like boot, which is skating, and if you have any kind of foot imbalance, sometimes it's excessive motion around the heel, and we can start thickening the attachment of the Achilles tendon, actually grow that bump, soft tissue. Sometimes there's an actual medical condition called Haglund's, where the actual heel bone is enlarged. Either way, number one, get whoever fits your daughter to punch that area out in the back of the skate and see podiatry. Hey, I've been putting orthotics in skates for decades, this specific problem, with great success. Punch out the skate, make sure she's in the right boot, right brand for her particular foot, see podiatry, pay big attention. Orthotics can be very, very helpful. We might even pad the area initially. Once they hurt, they become a problem. Often the bump is developing. It doesn't hurt yet. Sheila says, my 14-year-old son, he runs cross country. He's been plagued with shin discomfort for two or three seasons. He's been to physical therapy. You know, Sheila, I got to tell you, as a sports podiatrist, 80% of persistent shin problems are foot mechanics related. Common, excessively flat, pronated foot. It doesn't have to be a super flat foot. It even could be a almost normal. When we add the sport of running in cross country with these kinds of surfaces, the muscles that slow down the foot drop that are created all around these particular areas are strained with a foot imbalance. An excessive high arch could be pounding that muscle, the inner shin, posterior tibial tendon. If it's overworking, it starts to cause discomfort. We've had great success besides all the strengthening and the therapy that might be necessary, whether it's anti-inflammatory medication, big, intelligent rest factor. Is he in the best shoe for his foot mechanics? Again, look to add orthotics, super feet over the counter, his size right away. And look seriously, custom orthotics, big weapon. We've had great success with these chronic shin problems. Pat says, in your book, you talk about the prodigy sports. It's one of my favorite topics, Pat. Think gymnastics. Think ballet. Think figure skating. Young kids, tennis, soccer. maybe at 10, 11 already. This is all they want to play is a sport they love. Every physical therapist and sports medicine doctor will tell the parents, will tell the coaches, absolutely, we want very successful, less injuries if your child, no matter how talented in the sport, plays other sports. At the very least, takes a season off for rest and recovery. And this is a real challenge, again, when you think these sports like gymnastics or figure skating. I have 10, 11-year-olds in the world of figure skating. I've been putting orthotics in those skates before Lysacek, who was the 2010 men's Olympic figure skating gold medalist. He was 10 when we put orthotics in his skates. Candy Brown, his first coach, paid such attention to foot mechanics. I think I saw her orthotics in 1980 on in her skates. And the idea, again, of these particular sports that might be very, very early, where this young boy or girl, no matter what we tell them, wants to specialize in one sport. And we want to pay particular attention to getting together with a physical therapist and or sports medicine physician, sports pediatrician. What kind of program makes big sense for your young son or daughter who maybe is skating 6 days a week? What off-ice training, strengthening really is going to be helpful? What about that young soccer player or tennis player? Guy used to say, if your young tennis player is swinging the tennis racket 500 times a week, then we better be strengthening the muscles that are working to stabilize, control, and slow those motions down. So even though sports medicine is not an early specialization fan, we absolutely understand with the prodigy sports that there are categories where we're not going to see definitely multiple sports. Wow, we're out of time, everybody. Thanks so much, our friends at BBS Radio. Happy holidays, everybody. Catch you next week.